So when I got done with that recording, I went out into the living room and a conversation was happening that evolved into many different questions about genitalia. So
Oh, hell
heads
yeah.
up.
Are you gonna ask me about my balls? You ask me
Well,
about my
so the
great
question
balls?
was, who would you cast to play your
My balls?
genitals? Yeah, in the film, or TV adaptation, who would you cast? And also, what
No,
is the
stop.
gender
In the
of
film and
your
TV adaptation of what? My dick and balls?
Yeah.
Am I?
Exactly.
Are they
And
that
also
impressive? Am I
before, but
Genghis
first you have
Khan-ing
to
it?
decide. First you have to decide the gender of your genitals because it doesn't always line up. Because my tits are the boys.
Yeah, I have a girl dick, I think. I think.
Yeah, I
Good.
think so. All right, good.
Yeah.
So now
Thank you.
knowing that, who's playing her on screen?
I have no basis for this, but the only person in my mind that I thought of was Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Sure. Yeah.
And I'm just
The
gonna.
ghost hunter.
There we go. I'm just, yeah, because if it's who I'm thinking, and I think it is, she's in 911.
Oh, yes.
Is.
I know she
Maddie
is
Hahn
from the
from 911.
TikToks. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm gonna be the 911 responder from 911.
Excellent.
That's good for me.
Yeah.
Who's yours?
So my coochie, which is a lady, established. Is Charlize
Oh,
Theron.
nice. Hell yeah.
But the boys are Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert.
'Cause they're really popular late night.
Because they're really popular late night, and also because, like, they've got a similar sense of humor. They're buddies. They're you think of them in tandem, they're a real pair.
Fuck yeah.
And because of Lefty's struggles, because I pierced him with a safety pin when I was in high school, so he has trouble keeping up. That's Jon Stewart,
Yeah, my dick is Jennifer Love Hewitt because you know the name, but they're fairly forgettable.
Yeah. Good. Good. Great. Hi, my name is Dylan. And I have never played a Fallout game.
Hello, my name is Robin Ekberg. I'm Jennifer Love Hewitt's agent, and I have played the Fallout franchise 100 million times.
Yeah. This is Dorkspawn,
Is Dorkspawn.
a video game book club podcast where we play choice-heavy video games and discuss them chapter by chapter like a book club. And
Fallout, baby.
Fallout baby, I have been coerced into playing Fallout by every single masculine person I've ever dated, and it has never worked. And now here we are. You, my sexless chancellor,
Your sexless chancellor,
you
the
have done it.
royal vizier of
The
your
royal, the
court.
grand vizier to my throne.
My lord, we must. The people want you to play Fallout New Vegas.
And they're right. And so that's what we're playing. We're playing Fallout New Vegas. And so this week we played the intro to Fallout New Vegas, which is the Good Springs
The Good
location.
Springs area.
Yeah.
I have 7 pages of notes.
I don't have 7 pages, but I did start doing it in a doc, so it's not written. So I think
I also write big and I double space.
Yeah. So I have a pretty hefty amount of notes for this. Because unlike, I feel like I wanted to take notes better for this game, because unlike Mass Effect and Dragon Age, where the story is very immersive, I know that Fallout is more like Skyrim, where like you kind of engage with the story through text and documents and stuff like that, and you don't really like, if you aren't paying attention to it, you can just kind of play the game and not even encounter it really. Like,
sure,
I know that the first time there's I played Skyrim, I did not even know what was happening. I was just
there's some of that. Fallout New Vegas does, even when I was a stupid like 16-year-old and I didn't pick up on a lot of stuff, it forces you to engage with politics in a way that I think is really fun.
I can sense that for sure.
Also. Much so, Fallout is a lot like Dragon Age to me.
Tell me where
it is outstandingly queer as a franchise. Much like Dragon Age, the original creator is a gay man, and headlined Fallout 1 and 2. Then Bethesda picked it up for Fallout 3. Which is a fairly contentious pickup for a lot of Fallout fans,
but did get
a lot of people into the franchise, which is great.
Sure.
On my last year, I did a playthrough of all of the Fallouts in a row because I played 1, 3 New Vegas a billion times, and I played 4. But I didn't see like the connective tissue through line of all of them, which there is a lot of. So I re-picked up the franchise, I played 1 again, I played 2, I then replayed 3, and for 3's faults, which I do believe there are a decent amount, it is a fun game. It is, it has a lot of the similar mechanics and feel of this, but the story is really weak, and it doesn't, and it also does some interesting things with lore. But what Fallout 3 does do, which fucking rules, is the atmosphere of Fallout 3 is so outstanding. It feels so great. It is a scary place to be. It really makes the wasteland like, oh, this is hell. Like, this is a horror. They have this whole section of subway tunnels, which walking through is, it's horrifying. And then New Vegas got picked up by Black Isle Studios, and also primarily Obsidian. And Fallout New Vegas was primarily written and developed by a lot of people who had originally developed Fallout 2, Fallout 1 and 2. So there is a Fallout New Vegas is considered the peak because it is a modern telling with a modern telling of the Fallout world, with a lot of people who are very ingrained in the world of Fallout. Which, again, I've said this before, but Fallout has been my favorite connected universe for a very long time, because although all of the games are very separate, the world is very connected. Fallout 1 and 2 are pretty connected, but the thing about the Fallout world is the lead character isn't someone who will fundamentally change things, but you will help other people go on to change things. So I'll talk a little bit about it later, but the NCR, the New California Republic, is a very big consistent between all of the Fallout world, because the New California Republic started in Fallout 2, led by someone who is a secondary character in Fallout 1. And then they're like the old, that they no longer around in New Vegas, but then the NCR is like a big thing. The Great Khans was started by a faction in Fallout 1. There's a lot of connective tissue. But
yeah,
like Dragon Age, the reason why I relate it to Dragon Age is because it's very queer, where queerness is in every aspect of it. There is a consistent joke, which Nick, who is in Fallout the Kings of a Hat, which is our AP.
Which is happening right now simultaneously. Which is happening
right fucking now, baby. Nick made the joke, which is a very common joke. Fallout New Vegas is the reason I'm non-binary, or the reason I'm trans, which is a thing which a lot of people say. It just has something similar to Dragon Age, although the text itself isn't. It's not that the text itself isn't queer. It's that the queerness is so ingrained in the universe, in the feeling of it,
the vibe, the atmosphere,
that it's like a starting point for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And especially this one. It is also, like Dragon Age, very political, and there is no good options. A lot of the time, you are sacrificing part of something good to make, you know, something else which you hope is going to be a through line of goodness for the world, if that's the character you're playing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really cool, interesting stuff. Also, similar to Dragon Age, Felicia Day's in this game. Which is cool.
Oh, and you were just listening to Felicia Day's Big Day Out.
I was listening to Felicia Day's Big Day Out, which reminded me that arguably the most popular companion in this game is a Felicia Day character, who is a very cool, very fun and interesting companion, who is a lesbian as well, which is fun. Fallout.
Pause for a second. Blue got locked in my room. Hold on one second.
And it's screaming. I heard that voice screaming.
I'm sorry, baby.
Fallout gang, sorry.
Okay. Continue. Hello.
Fallout, the franchise. Fallout 2 was one of, if not the first ever video game to have a queer character. And the choice for your character to be queer as well.
Yeah.
Which is really fucking cool. Came out in the 90s, a time when it was, you know, that shit just didn't happen, especially in video games.
Mm-hmm.
It's just great. It is a very big commentary on...
Wow, the 90s it came out in?
Fallout 1 and 2 came out in the 90s, yeah.
Wow, okay.
Fallout 2 came out in 1998. Fallout 1 came out in, 1997. So, yeah, they came out in the late 90s. It's cool. It's cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I love this franchise. I love the characters. It is so openly about American imperialism and consumerism. In a way that I think is so great. The creators and a lot of people who are deep into Fallout are very opinionated, me included, about the fact that the Fallout franchise should never, ever leave America. It should always stay in America
as much as I don't like... know these games, because we started playing it, because we started promoting Kings of Manhattan, I've been getting a lot of Fallout like commentary content like pushed to me, and that is something that I've already heard in just like the last week and a half or so.
Because it's very Americana is a really big feeling for it, but also, you know, the creators have said the American exceptionalism, American imperialism and consumerism is such a heavy part of the world that there are theories that have gone so far as to say the nuclear apocalypse is contained in North America and it doesn't leave North America. It's like we might as well have, there was a big last year, I think, maybe the year before. No, it was definitely last year. Fallout London came out, really big mod for Fallout, which I haven't played, so I can't comment on it at all. But there were people being like, this is great as a mod. It better not become a game because Fallout is American. In a way that I think is cool and good and fun.
Yeah.
Anyway. Love this franchise like crazy. I've done a bit of a Dragon Age Origins with my playthrough.
You played
three different
times?
Characters.
Wow.
And we today are going to decide on what character we want me to continue with, because each of them I find interesting, and each of them I would be excited to give alongside your playthrough, because I have played this game so many times that I truly know it like the back of my hand. You could probably say a mission and I'll be like, yeah, probably. I'll be able to tell you what happens on a playthrough. So I would like to play it alongside as a different run that we wouldn't see normally.
Okay.
Because I think that would be cool. But also, I'm here to give a story that I'm excited and interested in.
So then, do you want to tell me the kind of gist of all of your characters and then hear my canon playthrough? Or
yeah, that's fun. I'm into that. First things first, though, we open
do we want to go through the playthrough first?
I think let's at least do the opening, because our character, our courier,
we don't have an identity until after the opening. Okay.
Also, I might goof up some names on this. However, so much like in Dragon Age,
I have my notes here.
Fuck yeah! Much like in Dragon Age, where we have the Grey Warden in Origins, we have Hawk in 2, the Inquisitor in Inquisition. In the Fallout, every Fallout game has the title of the character.
Right, like what people are going to call you regardless of what you choose to name your character. This is the thing.
Yeah.
And in this, you are Courier.
The Courier. Which I think fucks as a name. There's a lot of... there's stuff about Fallout that I like. So there's like the community around New Vegas is really fun, and especially this character. So there is a lot of like memes and fan things about the... Oh, gosh. I believe... Oh, it's the Vault Dweller. So Fallout 1 is the Vault Dweller.
The Vault Dweller, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fallout 2 is the Chosen One.
Mm-hmm.
Fallout 3 is the Lone Wanderer. New Vegas is the Courier. Fallout 4 is the Soul Survivor. And there's this fun thing of in... there's, like, edits of Fallout 1... like, I'm here to get a water chip, because that's your whole goal, is going to get a water chip for your vault, and it's like a cutesy little character. Fallout 2 is like, oh, I'm here to help my tribe, you know, succeed in the wasteland by getting a Gek. Fallout 3 is, I'm looking for my dad, and I'm having an adventure around the apocalypse. And then it is the Courier wearing the Ranger NCR helmet, being like, I'm going to kill the fucking guy that shot me in the face. And that's the whole plot, is like, the Courier is the coolest, most dangerous person in the whole wasteland, because their whole thing is revenge.
Yeah.
I fucking love this shit so much.
Because this opens up. The very first thing that happens is you have been picked up. Like, you see them dig it. You see this group of guys digging your grave in front of you, restrained. And then they shoot you in the head. That's the opening. The opening is you get shot in the head by some gangsters, including one in a suit, which is very important.
Benny, played by Matthew Perry.
Because
he loved the Fallout franchise so much. There is some sad, there's a thing which genuinely gets me a little emotional. It's sad. So he loved the Fallout franchise deeply.
Yeah.
And basically begged to be in one of them. And then he got to be in the best Fallout. Oh my God, what a legend. He had in his contract, this is what makes me sad. He had in his contract, this is also nothing to do with Fallout, but
doesn't matter.
one of the stipulations is that someone would hang out with him and just play video games with him. That was in his contract. That guy was so lonely that in his contract to get an acting gig was, hey, can you sit with me and play video games? Man,
devastating.
It's so deeply upsetting. Sad. Anyway, so we start properly. We start at the Lucky 38. This is where the camera starts. It's showing New Vegas.
Yeah.
New Vegas essentially untouched by the bombs that have ravaged everything else. We pan out. We see NCR soldiers getting drunk and having fun. Mm-hmm. We then see and the other faction, Caesar's Legion, who are preparing themselves for an attack. And then there is a gunshot from an NCR Ranger soldier shooting a Great Khan's member in the head. And then we have the iconic line of Fallout, which is said in everything that Fallout has done, which is war. War never changes. War never changes. We learn that the Hoover Dam is under NCR control. And there was a war for the Hoover Dam 4 years ago between the Legion and the NCR, these two huge factions.
Is this what we learn in the before?
This is what we learn in the intro.
Okay.
Because it is, I believe, Josh Brolin talking us through. Yeah. We then hear that we hear about New Vegas and that Mr. House currently owns New Vegas. He's this big entrepreneur, big scientist guy. And then we were hired to deliver something to New Vegas. It looked like it was going to be a regular delivery job. And then cut to us being tied up.
And before they shoot us, they do say you were just a very unlucky guy, essentially. Like they say, like, you must be the least lucky courier, like that.
From where you're sitting, it must seem like you've just hit an 18-carat run of bad luck.
Yeah.
But unfortunately for you, the game was rigged from the start and then shoots you in the head. Great fucking opener.
Great opening.
Love that shit so bad. I literally have written, God, what an opening. I love the fucking opening in this game. Anyway, Dylan, to carry away, I've been talking for way too much.
Okay. So we wake up somehow after being shot in the head. We are woken up by a doctor, Doc Mitchell, who has somehow patched us up from a gunshot to the head. Great little way to kind of intro your character and let you build your character. This whole sequence of events where Doc wakes you up, tells you he patched you up, but is like, I got all the pieces back. I picked that thing out of your head, but I might have like messed you up a little bit in the process. Let me know how I did. And then you get to like build your character's face and do the character creation. Then after you like make you the design of your character, Doc is like, okay, well, I got to ask you some questions to like, you know, check some medical history. And then you go through some questions, some like question and answers that build your character personality a little bit. And then there's a Rorschach test to test your psych. A couple of questions that are like, what would you like? What do you see in this? And then like questions like, what would you do? Really cool, interesting like way to build a character. Very cool. And then the final bit is that he brings you over to this kind of like jukebox X machine. Actually, not jukebox X, more like one of those cigarette dispenser machines from like,
yeah, or like a love tester ago that you hold and then it like measures. It's one of those cheap things. Yeah.
And that's where you kind of distribute your stat points is through that. So I am Ace.
So good. Hey, I had a character in Fallout 2 called Ace. And yeah. Not only I had a character in Fallout 2, my current character in Fallout 2 is called Ace. Mm. I think it's very good.
But Ace is a, like, diminutive nickname.
Like,
he is a young man, not a good fighter, kind of shiny and new is what I'm imagining Ace as. Like,
beautiful.
Like, and so I think that, like, other couriers and people that he was working for called him Ace as kind of like a kiddish name.
Oh.
You know, Ace.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, Tiger. Yeah, that kind of thing. So it's like, this is what he's known as. And it's a little bit condescending because he's a little fresh. Mm-hmm. He's not good at fighting. Definitely a little good at, a little bit smart, and a little, and definitely a little charismatic for sure. At this point, though, kind of not really great, spectacular at anything. I tried to make him like a little bit well-rounded, but kind of just weaker in
physical
fighting.
Things.
Yeah.
Cool.
And well-rounded in everything else. So there's nothing quite yet that right off the bat I made him like super good at.
Mm-hmm. Did you pick any traits? Traits are a really cool thing, I think,
in this
right. game.
So I did pick the one that you recommended.
And Wild Wasteland,
everything
a little weirder.
Mm-hmm. And then I picked the other one. I'm not going to remember the name of it. Was there one at the start that's about unarmed, or did I take that one when I leveled up?
Heavy-handed is one. It makes you a little slower, but you can punch better.
Oh, not unarmed. No, I wouldn't have taken that.
But you did. Go on.
I thought I took something that was like melee focused in the beginning.
Probably there is yeah. a couple of interesting ones that you can grab.
I can't believe I didn't write that down.
That's okay.
Everything.
It's no problem.
But yeah, I took Wild Wasteland, and then I took something to do with melee combat, I think. And then great. So like we've created our character, and then the doc is like, you know, basically like, hey, come, you know, come meet me. I'll get you patched up and out of here. I think you should meet a friend of mine, Sunny Smiles. Mm-hmm. You know, she's gonna teach you how to survive out there. And then he walks to the door, and then I am home. I am in Skyrim. I am in this man's house. He has just fixed me up. I take everything
you
I can carry.
You fucking rob him blind.
I rob him. So I don't even rob him. Nothing is red. Nothing is stolen.
Nothing's.
I just take
there's a
everything.
Lot of things in Good Springs that aren't red, specifically in Doc Mitchell's house.
In
you can
Doc
pretty
Mitchell's
much take
house,
everything.
I take almost everything. I just pick that place apart top to bottom. I don't even know what's good and what's not at this point in the game, so I
just
take
everything.
I get out of there. I go to talk to him one last time. He tells me about Sunny Smiles. She's going to teach me how to survive, et cetera, et cetera. He also is like, hey, does he say he used to live in a vault or he had?
He said he used to live in a vault. He grew up in a vault and then left. Yeah.
Yeah. So he gives me his Pip-Boy. Cool as shit.
Love it.
Which is this little like, you know, arm held device that's going to track your health and your rads and all of your equipment and is also your game menu. Essentially, it's where your map is. It's where your inventory is, et cetera, et cetera. He gives me a vault dweller uniform so that I don't stick out too much. And
there's also like with the DLCs, you're just so flooded with items. Mm.
When you
things.
Leave, then it's like, oh, it's just this like, added,
ding,
this
ding,
added,
yeah,
this
and
added.
Yeah,
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 yeah. Walk out.
Go, please.
Well, I'm about to walk out into town. Do you want to? Is there anything?
Well,
else I
no,
Doc
I was just about
house?
To say. Did you do? So in Doc Mitchell's house, there are there's a lot of things that you can interact with, but there's two things. There is a like a science kit that you can mess with. If you have science 25 or over, you can make yourself some drugs.
I did not have that.
And there's also a machine gun, which if you have high enough repair, you can repair the machine gun and then take it with you. It's two little things just right at the beginning of the game. It's like, yeah, here you go. Have fun with it.
Yeah, I did not have that ability. That's cool.
Which is fine. Yeah, it's fun. You can also go back later if you
which I will actually, because I did level up in Good Springs and I technically have not left yet. I am ready to leave, but I haven't actually.
You can always return
yet.
To Good Springs whenever you want as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. So you walk outside. The very first thing you see when you walk out after the game notifies you of the million DLC stuff that they packed you with is a handy bot rolling around.
Victor.
Victor. Go up to him. Victor is a handy bot wheeling around town that turns to you and has a CRT monitor with a cowboy head on. What a guy. Can't tell you shit. You're like, hey, do you know anything about anything? He's like, nope. Sorry, partner. Go on, talk to other people. Very fun. He does tell me, actually, that's not true. He tells me that the great Khan shot me. Chet at the general store told me that. Never mind. No, sure. Victor told me absolutely nothing. I walked past. I went to the general store first, walked in, talked to Chet. Chet tells me that it's the great Khans that shot me. That's the gang. They deal in illegal chems, which I don't know what that is yet. But
chems is just any drug.
Drug.
Like
okay.
Any drug is a drug. Is a chem, and they just make them.
Mm-hmm. And then he also tells me that there's a casino in New Vegas, Lucky 38, which is what was mentioned in the intro there.
Yep.
That's pretty much it. I don't really engage with him too much, because I don't really have anything to that I feel like I am confident enough to sell or buy yet, because I don't know what I'm doing.
Yep.
I go next door. I meet Easy Pete, who sits outside in his little bench.
Yeah.
Easy
An old
Pete
prospector
was a prospector with the NCR, and he got away. Which seems tough to do. He gives me a little bit more information. He tells me about the Legion, who are slavers, essentially.
Yes, the Legion are wildly bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then he also, a few people around, actually specifically also Easy Pete, even though he says the Legion are horrendous people and are slavers, he also does say that the NCR make you a part of them whether you like it or not. So giving light implications that, yeah, these people are slavers, kind of so are the NCR. They just kind of force you into being a part of them. Yeah, kind of giving this immediate pitch of there are no good people here in Vegas.
Yeah. Or what I'm getting is there are no good organizations here in Vegas.
Yes, that's more, right? There's no good organizations.
Yeah. We also learn that the Hoover Dam is powering New Vegas. And Easy Beat also tells me that the schoolhouse is full of critters. I'm like, oh, I'm in tutorial mode. Okay.
Yeah.
So I go inside to meet Sunny Smiles. Sunny Smiles is inside the bar in a full-blown argument with some asshole. He's bitching about somebody who won't pay him. And whatever, he storms off. I confront him and I'm like, are we gonna fight? And he's like, nah, not really. And I was like, okay, so bye, thank you. He goes off. I go talk to Sunny, and she's like, okay, we gotta teach you how to do
basic stuff,
how to do everything. She takes me out back, and first I just do some practice shooting. I do okay with the shooting the bottles. Then she's like, well, okay, now, we got to teach you like how to really do well out there. There are some
geckos.
Now, this is primarily an audio podcast. Were it not an audio podcast, I would do an impression of the geckos running, because I think that is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my whole entire life. They are the silliest monster.
Don't you love them?
In video game history.
Love the geckos.
So they're overwhelming the watering hole, so we've got to go clear them out. And we do. We go clear them out. Now, did I die the first time? Yes. Even though I'm playing on super easy baby mode? Yes. Then I switched to my machete that I stole from Doc Mitchell's house. And now I'm having a good time.
And then you went just so sicko mode because you're
and
now just playing
just,
Skyrim.
And now I'm playing Skyrim and I am having a blast. So I'm just carving up those geckos. We clear out the watering hole, and then she's like, okay, now let's learn how to start a fire. Starting a fire is not as easy as just like, you know, wood and flint or anything like that. It's like you get she's teaching you basically how to like do ingredient based mechanics in the
game.
Yeah.
Cooking and things.
Cooking
yeah.
and stuff. So she's like, okay, get this root and this flower and then bring it back to me. The root is something that you can find over at the schoolhouse, and the flower is up by the graveyard. So you go to the graveyard, there are these fucking angry bees, big irradiated ass bees. Kill those guys, and then you take the flower. Schoolhouse, 20 minutes. 20 minutes of my life.
I'm fighting the giant praying mantises?
No.
Oh,
the
just
praying
looking
mantises
for
I killed in seconds. The root? I'm sorry. It's the same color as the ground.
It is tough.
It's the same color as the ground. It's like I have found the Khajiit chest outside of Whiterun quicker.
The Xander root at the beginning of New Vegas has always taken me a little second as well. It's always fucked
me
a little bit.
Whatever, I found it. I went inside the schoolhouse. Unfortunately, I didn't make my lockpick high enough in the beginning, so I couldn't get into the super cool secret
chest
in there.
Did you make your science high enough to hack the computer that's right next to it?
No!
Oh,
what is it? I thought maybe I messed it up, but I guess it's just that my science isn't high enough.
If your science isn't high enough, you can't hack the computer.
Okay.
If your lockpicking isn't, so it's kind of gives you a thing of, because the computer can also be used to open the safe. It's a very basic tutorial thing of like, hey, if you can't get in one way, look around. There'll always be a second way to get into a thing. Whoa, Dylan, are we on the Citadel right now? What does it just feel like we landed the Normandy for shore leave?
Oh, Robin, that's just because we're listening to one of the deep space songs from Pocket Bard, immersive audio made simple.
Oh, is that the app that lets you add music and soundscapes to your RPG sessions with 20 scene location soundscapes and customizable tavern scenes completely free?
Yes, and it's all controllable in a very simple-to-use app. And with a subscription, Pocket Bard has even more soundscapes and scenes that you can fully customize.
I bet with an app like that, Game Masters can prep less and play more by weaving immersion into their games using interactive audio that's accessible, intuitive, and responsive.
Are we on Citadel News Network or something right now? Because if we are, I gotta go look for a Turian real quick.
Yes, Dylan, we are. And we're here with a quick announcement. The team behind Elcor Hamlet is back with Elcor Catcher in the Rye to remove any misunderstandings to the quality of Holden Caulfield's character. Also, the Pocket Bard app is free to download and already has 17 forever free fantasy essential scenes to get you started.
And it's available on iOS and Android.
Have you been wanting to bring your home games to the next level? Maybe you're looking for the perfect holiday gift for the TTRPG-loving person in your life. Well, during the Hero Forge Black Friday sale, you can get savings as big as the stories you tell. Maybe you're a DM and you want to gift something physical to your players of their player characters in your campaign. Or maybe you're a player and you want to give the gift of an NPC in the form of a miniature. You can save 20% on physical miniatures and accessories, such as their iconic color plastic miniatures, their new, super cute custom acrylic keychains, or their 3D printed custom dice, as well as 50% on digital miniatures and STL files. The sale ends December 1st, so don't delay! Restrictions apply. Head to heroforge.com/sale for more details.
Sanguis populi, the blood of the people, the dark protectors of the hidden city of Azeroth, deep within the illusory forest, familiar with death as they have eluded it, they are called upon for a desperate task, slaying a creature from the great beyond. Blythe.
This might not be easy, being surrounded by death. I don't understand how they can do it.
Elvira.
Someone must watch the bodies, and none do so as diligently.
Swan.
Into action so fast. I love when we get to go out.
It came from the sky. This great, pale monstrosity.
You just had to sate your hunger. You couldn't have saved it for the beasts.
I prefer the gratuity.
Vampirism is not immortality. It only prolongs the inevitable. Is this the end for Sanguis Populi? Blood in the snow. A tale yet told. Halloween 2025.
Sorceress, lower the barrier for just a moment. Sanguis Populi departs.
Listen to tales yet told wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, so you can either get your science or you can get your lockpicks. Science is always hacking. Lockpick is obviously lockpicking.
Okay. Well, I am going to go back there one more time before I leave because I think I might have gotten my lock picking up when I leveled at the end there. So I'll try one more time. So anyway, go through that. You clear. There are these angry ass
giant praying mantises.
Yeah. So you got to clear them out. But you get the ingredients. You go back to her. She shows you how to use them to start a fire. Cool, cool, cool. And then she is like, all right, well, I'm going back to town. You know, I suggest you come back, and meet Trudy in the, in the saloon because she likes to know everybody who comes to town. I go back, of course, cause I'm afraid of going out to the Waitland. so I go back, I go to the saloon, I meet Trudy. Trudy is fighting with Joe Cobb.
Yep.
She also then, when Joe, she, you know, she kicks Joe Cobb out. He leaves. She tells me that my attackers came from Quarry Junction, which sounds like a bad place.
It is, yes.
And that they're headed to the Strip, and that's all she knows. Which I guess the Strip is like in New Vegas.
The New Vegas Strip, yeah.
Yeah. She also says her radio's broken. And that I could fix.
Hey.
I fixed it. I did it. I fixed her radio and she was so thankful about it. She also tells me that this guy that came to town, Ringo, is hiding out in the gas station. All scared. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll go check that out. Go to the gas station to find Ringo. He's got like a mattress on the floor behind the register inside and is like about to kill me when I walk in the door. And I'm like, calm down, what's going on? Tells me basically Joe Cobb is here about him. The NCR is like, the government.
NCR is big military. Yeah. And, they're trying to take things back to the way it was before the bombs.
Yeah. And Legion is like essentially like a pretty evil gang that fills like that competes with the NCR.
Yeah, they are also trying to, you know, run the wasteland, but they are trying to bring everything back to like Roman rule. That's what they believe. So everything that they do is something that they have read in like old historical books about things that the Romans did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, the Legion have some of my favorite bits of world building ever, which is the leader of the leader of the Legion is called Caesar. But if you are affiliated with the Legion, people call them Kaiser, which is the proper actual way to pronounce Caesar, the Latin way to pronounce Caesar. So you can tell just by speaking with someone if they're aligned with Caesar or not by the way they pronounce his name. And I think that that is the coolest shit ever. I think that's so
cool.
Neat.
That's anyway. Really neat.
Yeah.
That's real. It is. It is really neat.
Yeah.
So Ringo is like, there was basically like a jailbreak, the NCR prison. A bunch of these gang, like these criminals broke out of, and are now making their way up, and that's what Joe Cobb and his folks are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Ringo had a caravan from Crimson Caravans, which is a trader group in New Vegas. He got jumped by the Powder Gangos, took all of his stuff, ran away, and they're like, oh, well, he owes us. So they're after him.
Yeah. So then he's like, please help me. They're going to come back here. You know, like.
Yeah. Please stop them. Whatever. Please try to get the rest of the town on our side as well.
Yeah. So now going out into the town, I have some options. The one that's like the most important is to get Sunny Smiles on your side.
Mm-hmm.
That I was able to do. Then it's like, can you convince Easy Pete to give you some of his dynamite? Which I could not do.
Yeah, to do that. So this is a really cool bit because this shows you for example, in Fallout 3, the only conversational stat that matters is speech. If your speech is high enough, you get kind of whatever you want. In this, it is showing you that every little stat has importance. With Easy Pete, you need dynamite to convince the Chet, who is the store owner, to convince him to give you stuff. You need high barter. to give to get Doc Mitchell to help you, you need high medicine. So it's a lot of like, you, there's a fairly high chance, unless you have kind of min-maxed in some way, that you're not going to be able to get everyone on your team.
Yeah. So I was able to get Doc and I was able to get Sunny. I was not able to get Easy Pete's dynamite, and I was not able to get Chet's inventory.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I agree. Really cool, interesting. Tried. And then I was just like, you know what? Let's just do it. So then you kind of go up to back up to the gas station to talk to Ringo, and you're like, look, the town's in. Maybe not everybody, but we're in.
Some people.
And he's like, okay. And then you get attacked.
Oh, you can also convince Trudy as well.
Oh,
if you have speech, you can convince Trudy, because then she'll rally some extra firepower from people in the town.
I don't think I did that. Mm-hmm. Maybe I definitely got Sunny Smiles.
Yeah, definitely got Sunny. You need Sunny to do the mission. So yeah,
sure.
Yeah, cool.
So cool. So basically then once you go back up to the gas station, you kind of trigger the attack to happen. Sunny Smiles comes up there and is like, they're here. And we run into town to like form basically a line in front of the saloon to defend the town. This one a little bit harder with doing like melee for sure, because you know they have guns.
They all have guns.
Yeah, so you got to get close. But still pretty decent. Nobody died. Everything's okay.
Hell yeah.
The town.
Awesome. Love that.
Fought them off. I got the notification, which like this is like very interesting. You like called it back in the beginning. It's like the town of. Oh, I got one earlier where, like, when I was, like, hunting geckos, I found a woman who was
getting
attacked by geckos, and I shot those geckos, and she was, like, and then I got the first very notification that was, like, ooh, some of the townsfolk here are developing a reputation about you.
Yeah, you're accepted. And
if
you are wandering around at night and you are looking for Trudy, you go inside Trudy's house. It turns out that that woman is Trudy's wife, which is fun. Because they live in the same house. It's cool. It's just fun. It's just a cool game.
It's just cool.
It's a thing. She doesn't even have a name, but they are in the same house at nighttime. They sleep in the same bed. It's cool.
That's really cool. And so now in this, I get another two notifications. One is that the town of Good Springs welcomes me and like
idolized by Good Springs,
and that the Powder Gangers
hate me
and that I am an enemy.
Yep.
And so that is like, okay, we've made our first big allegiance, our first big choice, because there is an option when you meet Joe Cobb to be like, you want to take over this town.
And what is so fascinating is that it is not just a, oh, these people are enemies and these people are good. It fully locks off a whole storyline. There is a whole area, which is the NCR Correctional Facility, which is where all the Powder Gangers are. You can get around it. I don't think you can get around it if you're hated. But there's a thing in this game, which is about costumes, and if you put on Powder Ganger clothes, you can trick your way into doing that storyline anyway. But I don't think it works if you're hated. I think they shoot you on sight anyway. But yeah, it's cool. It's one of the cool big decisions. I love it.
So now I know I have some places that I can go to next. There is Prim, just down the road. I have also heard that there is something happening at the drive-in. What's happening at the drive-in?
So the drive-in is the drive-in movie theater. That is DLC. We'll be doing that later.
Okay, good to know.
The drive-in movie theater is for later. The, genuinely, my favorite DLC of all time, which is the Sierra Madre Hotel. There is a Brotherhood of Steel bunker, which is giving you like a distress signal. If you go there, that'll trigger that. There is also a Happy Trails group that is leaving in the mountains. That is another DLC. And there is a fourth, which is Ulysses, which I don't actually know where that is because I've actually not done that DLC before. However, before you go into them, it tells you, you cannot turn back as soon as you start this. You have to finish the DLC to come back to Vegas.
Okay, good.
So it will fully, it flagships everything about what, about the fact you're about to go into a thing. It also gives you a recommended level as well.
Okay,
but
good.
Because all of the DLCs are fairly long, I would like to give them fully their own episode.
Agree.
But yeah, those are the little signals that you've been
okay,
getting.
Okay, so then there's Prim, and then there is
Prim. I mean, Vegas is the main one. Mm-hmm.
So I have not fully left town yet, but I am at the point where it's like, okay, time to go.
Yeah.
So Ace is still very new. Got a gun, bad at it. Got a machete, fine at it.
Sure.
Can't pick a lock. Can't use a computer. Is just charming enough and maybe just good enough at fixing an old radio.
I think it's so charming.
He's a little baby and he is scared. and that is what's going on right now. So who are the options that you are dealing with? Oh, actually, you know what? Wait, before you start, can I refill my glass?
Please do. Please do. Fucking love Fallout game. I'm sorry, I've been speaking so much today. I love Fallout so deeply. This is literally the most excited thing ever. I'm buzzing. Oh, I was editing. I've just finished. It's on my screen right here. If Dylan keeps this in, it's on my screen right here. Episode one. Episode one of the Kings of Mahat, which is our Dorkspawn's Fallout show using Modiphius's Fallout TTRPG system. I love this franchise. I've been editing it. I'm buzzing. I'm so glad we're doing this. I'm not going to say this was a hard pitch. This was a pitch that I was a little nervous about. because I was like, I wanted to do this before. Genuinely, I had always, after Mass Effect, I was like, I either want Disco Elysium, which is one of my favorite games of all time, Fallout New Vegas, my favorite game of all time, actually. And I was unsure. I was unsure which one I wanted to pitch. Dylan has had bad experiences with both. Not bad experience with Disco Elysium, just find Disco Elysium kind of boring because it's a book. Which, you know, whatever, that's fair. Then Modiphius was like, hey, do you want to make a Fallout AP? That was my excuse, baby. I was in. I was talked down because I was like, I want to do the series. I want to do Fallout 1, 2, 3, New Vegas 4. And I was talked down to just one. I was like, let's do New Vegas then. And I love it so much. It's literally my favorite shit of all time. Hello.
Hello. Can't wait to hear whatever that was.
It's literally just me being very excited.
I'm so excited. All right, tell me about courier. Or your couriers. Tell me the
couriers.
Options.
We have three. Two of them have the same storyline but different outlooks.
Okay.
One of them is completely different.
Okay.
So the first person I made is Jack Jackson. Jack Jackson has 10 charisma, is pretty smart, like maxed out in charisma, pretty smart. A used item salesman travels the wasteland and is like,
Hey, bud, it looks like you're going to need one of these, and would wander over and then would sell people anything. That's kind of his whole deal, is that he can sell anyone anything. The thing about Jack is that he is a fucking coward. He has 3 strength, 4 perception, can't do shit, has a small frame, which is one of the perks, which gives you an additional agility, but you break all of your limbs easier. He's a very wiry guy that has no backbone at all. His tagged skills, in case people are interested, is barter, because I wanted his barter to be as big as possible, is science, because he's a little smart, and then speech, because his whole thing is that he's able to talk to people. He is a neutral guy. He is straight down the middle. He likes a businessman. He doesn't care who wins as long as he comes out on top. That's all that matters.
Okay.
In Good Springs, he did everything. And then when it came to, hey, who are you going to side with? Who are you going to side with? Also, can you get people on board? He was able to get every single person in the town on board. And then when the combat started, walked into the tavern and hid until everyone on one side was dead, and then walked back out again. He is not a fighter, doesn't want to do it. What that does, because this game is so fucking good, they thought about it. If you don't fight anyone, you don't get fully villainized by the powder gangers because you don't hit any of them. So you're not in the fight. They know you helped Good Springs, but that's about it. You get shunned by them, but that doesn't mean that they're going to start shooting you on sight. I thought it would be a fun character to play someone purely neutral who is truly out for themselves.
Yeah.
I also wanted to play... they also, whilst all the fight was going on, they decided to rob the saloon. So they went into Trudy's room. They hacked the computer. They unlocked the safe. They took everything they could. There is a storyline in this about... So for people who don't know, in Fallout, caps are what people use to barter. In Fallout 1, a little bit in Fallout 2... Fallout 3, and then a little bit in New Vegas, mainly in New Vegas as well, and then 4 and onward. But 2 and New Vegas try to, like, ease it out.
I'm putting a pin for later. I need to discuss something with you after you discuss
Fantastic.
Your couriers.
Okay. There is a... whenever you drink, like, a Nuka-Cola... or a Sunset Sarsaparilla, you get a coin back. You get a cap. So you get one currency whenever you drink one of these bottles because, you know, you're drinking
the cap. It has a cap on it, yeah.
Sunset Sarsaparilla has a legend that goes along with it. Occasionally, you will get a Sunset Sarsaparilla star cap, which doesn't count towards your currency, is its own special thing, because there was an old treasure... a treasure hunt before the bombs fell about Sunset Sarsaparilla. If you got enough of these star caps, you could go on this big treasure hunt and end up finding this grand treasure to the empire of Sunset Sarsaparilla. This is a thing that will come up eventually. It comes up naturally. We can't proc it at any point. Mm-hmm. When you get X amount of star caps, a guy will find you and tell you about this. However, in universe, Jack already knows it. His goal is he's going to find the treasure. He is a shitty guy. He can speak his way out of any situation. He is a treasure hunter. Wants to get the most amount of money.
Yeah.
Then, whilst I was building this, I was digging up all the... Jack was digging up all of the graves in the graveyard to get any amount of things that he could from it because he's a shitty guy. And then I found a gravestone marked Jake. And I was like, man, what if he's not Jack Jackson and changes his name to Jake to try to start anew? And I had this like umming and ahhing, and I was like, I really like that storyline of someone trying to start new. And then when I was robbing the saloon, I was like, I really like the idea of someone doing good, but then also being shitty, like an in recovery child of someone who... You know, the people like bring them in and then as soon as they're out of the house, will rob them blind and then leave and then sell all their stuff. And I really liked that. I liked that storyline for Jack. And then
I got the idea. I'm actually going to make a new character. And then okay. I made Jake Jackson. Jake is someone who got shot in the head, woke up, is also the shitty salesman, but is a shitty salesman in a way that they are lucky that they can talk. They have 9 charisma, 10 luck. They have nothing in any other stats. This guy sucks ass, is actually an evil person. Don't let them in your house. They will talk their way into your house and then rob you blind and leave.
Already like them. Already a big fan.
When Joe Cobb walked out, Jake walked out with him and was like, hey, so what was that about? And then Joe Cobb was speaking to them. Oh, yeah, these people fucking suck, blah, blah, blah. And Jake kind of knows what, kind of knows that being a little shittier will get you more stuff in the future, even though people will like you less. But that's fine. I can talk my way out of it. Who cares? Walked up to Ringo and shot him several times in the face. Walked back to Joe Cobb. Yeah, I got, don't worry about it. I took care of that guy for you. Then Joe Cobb is like, great. We're going to need some town supplies. So if you go evil on this route, you go powder gangers, you can still get people in your town to turn against the town. You can shake Doc Mitchell down for medicine. Unfortunately, Jake isn't a smart guy, so unfortunately couldn't do that. But could go to Chet and intimidate Chet enough that Chet gives all of the powder gangers armor instead. When all the combat was going...
Holy shit.
When all the combat was going on, once again, Jake didn't, however, didn't wait until the fight was over. As people were fighting, Jake picked up a bag and left and just walked away. Didn't care what was happening to those people. I got my bag. I'm out now. That's Jake. That's Jake's storyline. Is that
I
I'm
love
going to
him.
is
you
I'm
have
going to,
to
do,
play him.
Is I'm going to do the
if your
evil
third character
route.
Doesn't wow me. Jake is the best. All right.
All right.
Give me the third
because
one.
I will say that my idea with I also have like the kind of pitches of who these people are going to align themselves with. I know that Jack is going to align himself with Mr. House, big businessman. Jake, I know, is going to align himself with the Legion because the Legion is going to give him the most amount of money. This means that he is going the evil route, which would be fun. And that's kind of why I wanted to do it, because I was like, that's going to be completely the opposite of what you have seen or what you will see.
Yeah.
And then I have Charlie. Charlie is a devout Catholic. spent his life picking up old Bibles. Catholicism is still a thing in the Fallout world. It is just this world. As is Mormonism, there is actually one of the lead characters of Fallout New Vegas who we will see in a
Hello,
DLC.
Do you want to talk about Fallout a little bit?
I can talk a little bit about Fallout.
Okay.
What are we talking about? Sorry.
I am talking about my characters. I have 3 couriers, and I'm having Dylan decide which courier I'm going to be. I have Jack Jackson, who is a merchant, who is a businessman at heart, and the only thing that matters is money. Is a true coward. So in the first Good Springs fight, what Jack did instead of fighting is walk into the saloon, rob them blind, and then leave. I have Jake, who is also a businessman, but is mainly the worst, shittiest guy. What Jake did is align with Joe Cobb because Joe Cobb can give you more money. Shook down the shopkeep, and then when all the fighting was going on, instead of helping or instead of robbing everyone, turned and just walked away, just left everyone to their own devices. And then eventually, halfway down the road, I get a notification, all these people are dead. And then I have Charlie, who is a devout Catholic, has a lot of Bibles, has learned, and then I was just about to mention, there is a character in one of the DLCs who's one of the primary characters of Fallout New Vegas, who is a devout Mormon in the world, and he has a lot of... Joshua Graham.
Oh, Graham, that's what I thought.
So I was like, it'd be fun for me to be a devout Catholic. And then got shot in the head. Beans, I got shot in the head. Woke up. Oh, I need to cleanse the earth. because people are inherently bad, but I'm good. So this is my good
run. Do
you
think God is what saved you?
I think God is what saved me. Yeah. So,
but what about Doc? Like, what about Doc Mitchell?
Is he a vessel for God?
A vessel for God, truly. I mean, people who do an medicine are instruments of God. They're helping people.
Does Charlie believe that God exists in machines and that's why Victor saved you?
Maybe so. Hey, listen, God works in mysterious ways. We have no way of knowing. Charlie is not very charismatic, is very smart, but is mainly a gunslinger, is really fast and is real good with a pistol. So, what Charlie does is I'm going to do all of the very positive options, but the spin of doing all the positive options is I'm cleansing the world. Helping the wasteland by burning it to the ground and recreating it in God's image. So he's going to go. He's going to go individual, which is the next option, because he's not going to align himself with the NCR because the NCR aren't that religious.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do the secret fourth option, and those are my three. Those are my three.
And you're gonna love the I'm forgetting the names of these fucking factions. The ones that you
the Children of Adam is the religious faction.
No.
The Legion.
No, the ones that the ones that have a vertebrate that you help rebuild.
Oh, the Boomers.
The Boomers. Okay, they had a basic name.
Yeah.
Cleanse the Earth.
Cleanse the Earth. Exactly. Anyway, those are my three.
I like the last character the most. I mean, we spent, I just think it's an interesting spin on Fallout. Or, like, it's an interesting way to think about Fallout is through a deeply religious lens.
Yep. Yeah. Which I love. I love the fact that, like, actual real-world religions still exist in Fallout. I think that's one of the most interesting bits about it.
Yeah.
Joshua Graham, one of the greatest characters. The fact that he's a devout Mormon, crazy. That's a big part of his character, that he's a Mormon. Insane. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like Fallout New Vegas? Tell me your favorite.
I want Jake.
You like Jake?
Which one is Jake, the businessman?
The second businessman. The one that is evil and stupid and ran away.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is also, I had never, ever thought in my life to just leave Good Spring.
Well,
in the middle of the fight.
Never
in the middle
of
the fight.
Like, oh, yeah.
Just get up and walk
away.
Yeah. And it's fun because, I was just telling Dill this. If you don't, so when you're originally fighting the Powder Gangers, if you don't attack them, which is what Jack did, who's the original businessman, if you don't attack them, you don't get vilified with the Powder Gangers because you helped the town, but you didn't attack them. So you can still do all of their missions. It is like they made a neutral option that almost no one would get. Why would you not help out in the fight? But if you don't, you get rewarded. Kind of for taking a neutral stance. You can help a side and then just stop there. So that's what Jack did, who was my neutral guy. Oh my god, there's so many people.
Oh my god,
I'm being called. Anyway, so hey Robin, I have a quick question for you.
Okay.
So when you like, do you kind of? Like when you like your penis in your pants, do they go down?
We've talked about it.
Do they go down a pant leg?
This is different. I forgot this part of the conversation.
This is what started it. Very important. Started that conversation. Do you put it down a pant leg, or do you kind of like what happens?
Do you put it in the pocket?
Do you put it in the pocket? Does it just kind of sit in the middle? Does it kind of
I just kind of zhuzh it around and then let it does what it wants to do. You know. Kind of like mix it up, and then wherever my pachinko machine falls is where my little guy
falls. You're a boxer's guy, right? Not a boxer. No, you're a brief. You're a boxer brief guy.
You've seen those. You've seen those Union Jacks.
I've seen the Union Jacks.
We've seen it.
That's fascinating. That they're my. Okay. Okay. Interesting. Not negative. Not negative. Interesting.
So you slot your peen into a pocket? What are you talking about?
So I don't know how much of this is going to make it. You don't.
It's
going to
be. Yeah,
this is all going to make it. This is all going to make it, freak.
If you don't want it on the pod, don't say it on the mic.
Yeah.
Because y'all can talk about your penises as much as you want. But
yeah,
now
we
I'm
do.
Like, do I need my junk's business out in the world?
No.
For the dorks, they got to pay. Hey. Subscribe to the Patreon if you want to learn about.
Yeah, we'll
Milady's
make this
junk.
Patreon.
The lady's penis. Yeah.
Put up more Patreon content.
Dylan and Robin will put me in front of a mic and let me say anything for 15
we
minutes.
We let each other do it. So.
Okay. I really love the religious character. I think it's fascinating. Why was he a courier?
People still need to work. Religious okay. people still need jobs, Viddy. What's wrong with you?
Sure. No, I was just curious. I don't know.
He just was a courier for money.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ugh. All right. Keep going. I like Fallen New Vegas.
Fallen New Vegas.
Good fucking game.
So you want me to do Jake?
I think Jake is the most fun. I genuinely think he's so spectacularly
we're getting it
funny.
All right, yeah, hey, listen, I'll be Jake the I'll do my the evil run of Jake.
Oh my god, hell yeah.
Yeah,
all right, so now what do we do next week?
Okay, you had a pin. You put a pin in
yeah
something.
Oh, thank you so much for remembering, because I did forget. Caravan.
The Crimson Caravan, yeah.
No.
Oh, the card
the
game Caravan? No one has
ever... What this... the fuck is it? What
it's straight
is
up,
it?
This is a huge thing in the community. Not a single person knows how to play fucking Caravan. That shit is crazy.
Oh my god.
Couldn't tell you.
What? I was so upset and so enraged, and then I was like, I said so to Vidya out loud, and Vidya is like a big games person, so I figured Vidya would be like, oh, it's complicated, but here's how you do it. And then Vidya was like, oh yeah, I don't know how to play. No one knows. And I was like,
no one knows.
What?
You can play Caravan with a decent amount of people. I genuinely don't know anyone. I've been in this community for many years. I don't know anyone that's played it. It's so complicated. It's complicated. The UI is just, it's like, you can't even figure it out through osmosis. It's explained pretty poorly to you. There are YouTube videos of people fully like, this is how you play Caravan. And some of them are wrong. It's crazy.
I bet. Because I couldn't even take a guess.
No.
Cards of mine were falling off the table. And I couldn't even begin to guess why. I was getting points and I couldn't begin to guess why. Zero comprehension of
no
what
one's
that
ever
game
been able
is
to understand.
Or means.
And if anyone is on the Discord or in our community and is like, I know how, this is it. You are wrong. You've not played it.
You're lying.
You need to go to the hospital right now because you're lying.
I'm like, I want to dive in. So this is my actual ask. If you have a YouTube video to someone who is claiming that they know how to play, I want to watch it because I don't believe them. I don't believe this is a game.
They're a liar.
I'm enraged. I love every single part of this. That was the thing that stuck.
It sucks. It's tough. Yeah.
Thank you for reminding me of that. I was like, I was going to be mad if I did not bring that up. Oh my God. Okay, great. There was a part of me that joined the call being like, Robin is going to be like, oh, Caravan, that's easy. And no, exactly.
No one's ever.
Yeah. Good.
No one's ever done it.
Next week.
I'm just wondering if we miss anything really quick before we close.
Sure.
The thing that we had that we were currying is the platinum chip. That's important. That comes up later. Trudy doesn't like Victor because Victor has never done anything good to anyone
before. Oh, yes.
And then pulled you out. Victor is also not sure why he pulled you out, doesn't know why he came to Good Springs 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Truly has, like, no idea.
Has, like, no information about anything
whatsoever. Going the... All of the people who ran away, as we said, went to the quarry. The quarry, according to Easy Pete, is bad. He says, go to Highway 93 instead. The quarry is a bad place, which is true. Even though it's fun, it's quicker to get to New Vegas through the quarry. The quarry is full of endgame enemies. It's a fun little trick they pull on you. So what Trudy says is, oh, no, Trudy doesn't say it. Sorry, Sunny says it. You should go to Prim. Next week, we're going to Prim.
We're going to go
do Prim, and we're going to go to the Mojave Outpost. I, fun fact, am also going to do the NCR Correctional Facility because I'm on Joe Cobb's team as Jake. So I'm also going to do the evil run of going through the NCR Correctional Facility because in Prim, you do have... There are some things you have to interact with. However, I'm going fully into... Being evil. So we're going to do the town of Prim. It's a pretty fun town. I like it a lot. And then we are going to get to the Mojave Outpost. You'll be able to see it pretty easy. Very iconic area. Not a huge amount to do there. You can also choose to do anything else that you want to do as long as you don't go to Nipton, which is right next to the Mojave Outpost. I will warn that. And you also don't go to Novak, which you won't be able to do unless you go through Nipton. Nipton is going to be a week after that. Of course, if you do it, just write some notes. Don't delve too deep into it. And then we'll figure that out later. But you can do anything else that you want in the world.
Okay. Spectacular.
That's it. Fallout New Vegas, baby. My
New
favorite
Vegas,
game
baby.
Ever of all time. I could not be more excited.
I'm so thrilled. I'm thrilled. Okay, do you know what we want our sign-off to be?
I'm wondering, okay, Fallout New Vegas is absolutely filled to the brim with fucking killer quotes. I'm wondering, though, if we want to go really classic and say war never changes. Because that's the
classic.
That's the Fallout line. If you want. We can also do the game was rigged from the start, which is.
I think that's good.
The game was rigged from the start.
I like
that. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay.
Yeah, that's the one, I think.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
All right, gang. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm throwing up with excitement. Next week is Prim and the Mojave Outpost on Monday recording and also release, I guess. The first episode of Fallout:
Woo!
The Kings of Mahat is out.
Yeah,
it is an original setting, quote unquote. It's in the Fallout universe, but it takes place in New York City. I run it. Dylan is on it. Some of the best people to ever do the damn thing are also in it. I love it so deeply. As of recording, I finished the episode 30 minutes ago, which is fun.
Robin's been an absolute hero about this series. It's been great. I can't wait for you to hear it.
Don't tell anyone I work with, because I have been shirking too many responsibilities to get this thing out.
And they'll
never know. Well, they will, because someone who I work with does listen to this show. But we'll figure it out later.
Kiss, kiss.
Kiss, kiss.
Kiss, kiss.
Anyway. I appreciate y'all listening. I genuinely could not be more excited. And gang, how do we set it up?
Bad news.
Bad news, gang.
The game was rigged from the start.
It's kind of hot. I like it very much.
It's hot.